Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Diversity, that's my priority. I want to have works that are not only great, but sometimes not necessarily well-known, but interesting for the audience to experience, so that you don't want to feed everybody a steady diet of only the great blockbuster pieces. You want to throw things that are fun, too. The other aspect is that Summerfest and its parent company, La Jolla Music Society, are ever more committed to commissioning and bringing new music to the festival.
There's a performer's world and there's a composer's world, and often the two don't meet, or they don't understand each other, or they're in separate structures. I mean, there's soloists and conductors traveling around that hardly ever meet a composer. Since I was a performer and since I work with performers all, and I still perform and I conduct, I'm always trying to get these two people to get back together again. The festivals are starting to get the idea that it might be important to have a composer, at least one, there. And sometimes they even commission them. That's starting to happen too. They're starting to see the importance of that.
Music needs to be a living art form. And a living art form is not simply live musicians playing dead music. It has to be that this music continues to be created, that the language continues to be spoken by composers today and 10 years from now and 100 years from now. And the only way to ensure that there is that continuity is to play the newer things. If not, it really becomes curating. You know, you're deciding that as of some arbitrary year, anything written after that will not be good anymore. And so we're going to say music stopped in 1910, and we will curate the old pieces. And that's not an acceptable way to nurture an art form.
Just testing. These three little pieces were written at the request of one of my board members in Santa Fe at the Chamber Music Festival. Wow, this is a great mic. Really powerful. I'm hardly talking. And I wrote them for Jimmy to play with me, which we did last summer. And I picked three of many wines I liked. There are many more. I could write a lot of these pieces. However, we stuck with red wine because that's what goes well with eating violins. And the first one is a bit of a play on words, Tango a la Feet. The second one is actually a much more subtle play on words, because we both have a very good friend, John Kongsgaard, who makes a wonderful wine called Arietta. But the label of his Arietta is actually the theme of the last movement of Beethoven's last piano sonata, which is called Arietta. So this is my Arietta for J.K. And Arietta actually is a little aria. So Jimmy sings, although on the violin. And the last one is Grange, which is a very powerful, complex, dissonant, not, in this case, wine, peace.
Thank you.
first of all, the vision of these three guys standing around all the gongs and the percussion instruments and all beating them, I found very ritualistic. Then this rhythmic cell, which I came up with, sounds very ritualistic because it's simple. It's a very simple thing which is repeated, and that in itself is ritualistic. Then I was thinking about concerts and people dressed in black on a stage with rows and rows of chairs facing them and performing for these seated people, and I found that very ritualistic. And then I thought about the ritual of writing a piece to be played at such a performance. And then I was thinking about all the rituals that I go through to be able to write the piece. You know, the kinds of little compulsive things that you do to get into the right frame of mind and the right space to be able to call up creative ideas. And all of it to me seemed ritualistic, and so I came up with that name. There was not a specific... If you listen to the piece three times on a full moon, nothing happens.
Thank you.
I've played this piece a lot. I also got to hear Solomon's eventual tone poem, Insomnia, which is based on this piece, Lachen Verlernt. And I really have much stronger idea of what Solomon wants. First time, my task was to play all the right notes, to present a somewhat coherent vision of this piece. But now it's, you know, 5 years later, I've played it so many times that I can step back and look at this piece in totality and then go back in there again without the intimidation factor that, you know, the technical hurdles and whatnot, because I figured them out. Then it's become a part of my system. And so this time around, I feel much more comfortable. I'm feeling like I'm giving the piece an interpretation rather than taking on the piece simply to get it right. You know, it's gone beyond that. So it's more gratifying the second time around here.
The risk has to work in the context of what's happening. A risk doesn't mean anything unless it's contextually relevant. And I work very hard at getting from place to place. I tell my students that all the time. They can write something beautiful, but if it's not in the right place, it's not going to be beautiful. You know, it has to have a context. And I work really hard at that. That's why I'm very slow, very, very slow composer.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.